today on Real Radio.
Some people are content with a dollar in their pocket and they're wealthy with it. Some people are content with $100 million in their pocket and they're content with that. In the same token, somebody can have a dollar and not be content. Somebody can have $100 million and not be content. It's a matter of the heart.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called So How's It Going? Part 2, continues his new series, The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Now, Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days. In So How's It Going? Part 1 from Isaiah chapter 3, we learned that there's a spiritual law that's unbreakable. Obedience to God brings about blessings, and in the end, there's a reward for keeping on the right path. But Isaiah warns us that the opposite is also true. When we're disobedient towards God, His blessing can be withheld. And now in part 2, we'll continue to see how things of this world can so easily possess us. And when a nation walks in disobedience against God, trouble will soon follow. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that God pleads with us to follow the straight path of righteousness and justice that He's set out for us. But when our hearts are far from God and His blessings have been removed, we'll look for a worldly leader who promises change, but there will be none. It happened 3,000 years ago in Isaiah's time, and just as it happened then, it's happening now. And just as it was back then, Isaiah's warnings are going unnoticed. And now in his lesson called So How's It Going? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Words to us in Isaiah chapter 3, God, may you just illuminate the word to our hearts as we pick it up, Father. Speak to us. And Lord, we thank you. Only you, how amazing, only you can make something that appears to be old, appears to be just another bit of antiquity, ink on pages, 3,000 years old, but only you can make it come alive because it is alive. Your word. So, Father, thank you now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 3. And if you remember last time, I thought we'd finish the chapter. I hope tonight we'd finish the chapter. I've stopped making promises to you and to myself. So Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, we're looking at a message entitled, So How's It Going? So how's it going? The prophet would say to the people of Israel, specifically Judah, they had come off of the great rule and reign of King Uzziah. The nation was prosperous. People were wealthy. Everybody had a donkey or two in their garage. Everybody had a cell stone to call their neighbors on. And the nation was doing great. But in their prosperity, they had forgotten God. In their victories, they began to become complacent. And you know, when you have time on your hands, leisure is a dangerous thing. You can invest your leisure or you can squander it. And they squandered it. And they got into their things. You'll hear about this tonight. They got into their stuff. It's not wrong to have stuff. It's bad when your stuff has you. And it began to possess them. How do you know when something's possessing you? Because it becomes your identity. Does the thing that you have and own define you? If your car defines you, if your self-worth is rooted in the fact that you drive a Bentley or a Porsche or a Mercedes, and without that vehicle status, you're nobody, then listen, you need some encouragement tonight. Those things are not wrong. We can make them wrong. Some people are content with a dollar in their pocket and they're wealthy with it. Some people are content with $100 million in their pocket and they're content with that. In the same token, somebody can have a dollar and not be content. Somebody can have $100 million and not be content. It's a matter of the heart. And are these things used by us to be stewards for the glory of God and for the advancement of the kingdom life and witness? Or do those silly things of this world possess us and own us? So the prophet might say to us today in America, so how's it going? And so Isaiah is speaking to us. And listen, last time we looked at verses 1 to 15, almost, that is. And that was when God withholds his blessings. Remember that in your note-taking, chapter 3. We began to see that God was speaking through the prophet to the nation. And all of these dilemmas now were beginning to surface. They were beginning to experience problems. Things, listen, church, were not going so smooth. Things began to happen. They began to have issues as a people. They began to have problems. And we saw in verses 1 to 3 that God began to withhold from them his blessings, and they began to evaporate away. God's goodness. And by the way, God says this in the Bible. He says, if you disobey me, I will resend. My hand of covering won't be upon you. That is both a New and Old Testament function of God. Even for the Christian, if you walk in disobedience, God folds his arms. You're still his child. You're still going to heaven. But God will withhold blessing. Your life will begin to experience the effect that God's not upon you, his favors are not there. In verses 4 through 9, we saw that one of the manifestations nationally, after things begin to evaporate nationally, is that nationally, integrity begins to be a rare thing in the leadership or the community, as it were. Integrity begins to evaporate from the very culture. People begin to consume one another, rip each other off, shake hands on a deal, and no sooner is the hand shook that the person turns away and legally or ethically you stab them in the back. Nobody keeping their word. This began to happen. And you say, well, that's always happened. Yes, it's always happened because it's a law of God. When we begin to turn our back on God, then we begin to act the way the human nature acts without God, and we begin to live for ourselves and selfishly, and we begin to manipulate to our own gain. And tragically, that drought of leadership and drought of integrity and drought of blessing began to become more and more apparent. And it was amazing. We touched on this last week, but before we get into the second part of our study, look at verse 6 one more time. God said to the prophet, tell the nation, there's going to come a time when they're going to be so hard up for leadership and for integrity that they're going to say to a man, they'll take hold of a brother of theirs in the house of his father, and they'll say to him, you have clothing, you be our ruler. And let these ruins be under your power. I dove back into this today looking at it, even though we covered it last week. And it's remarkable because God said through the prophet to the nation, it's going to get so bad. You're going to have leaders that are so rare and so hard to find. And the leaders that you do have are so pathetic. You're going to be so desperate that you're going to see somebody with clothing and they look like a leader. Irregardless of what's inside the suit, they're dressed like a leader. Grab him and tell him, look at that verse, verse 6. Tell him, all of this ruin, we bring under your control. The word, you guys are going to freak. I couldn't believe it. In fact, I was reading one commentary today that was over 200 years old. And the guy said this, I paraphrase, but this is what he was saying. I was shocked. He said that they would be so destitute of integrity among their community that they would grab somebody who looks the part And they would say to him, change our circumstances. And I change. We want change. I couldn't believe it. He was 200 years old. What's my point? My point is nothing seems to change. Man without God is always crying for change. Why? Because when we look to a man or to a system to save us and change everything, they can't do it. They promise the moon, but they can't fulfill. It's impossible. And so, listen, before I'm guessing that before we get to 2016, there's going to be another, some sort of wave of propaganda regarding change. I predict, and I'm not a prophet, I just represent a nonprofit organization, that from here on out until, or if America ever turns back to God, from here on out, we're going to be hearing some form of word change or some sort of similarity to the word change. I will promise you change. Why? Because man is at his end. And so we'll nominate you. You look presidential, you can give a speech, we'll nominate you. And it doesn't work that way. So look at verse 10 now. Leadership cannot be found. In a nation, according to God's word, right here in Isaiah 3, when a nation has departed from God, one of the most dangerous closing chapters of that nation is you can't find godly leadership. You can't. So say to the righteous that it shall be well with them. The word means in the end. It's an amazing word, you guys, as we touched on it last time. It doesn't mean for the righteous it's going to be well with you now in spite of everything. Church, are you listening? I'm going to give you a very serious statement right now. I need all of you to pay attention. Don't miss this. You're not going to hear this very many places. I mean it. That verse means, and history, both from Scripture and from the world, declares, when God says, for the righteous, it will be well for you when it's all over, when it's done. You need to hear that. Why? Because, church, do godly people perish when a nation goes astray? Yes. Do good, godly people who love the Lord die at the hands of persecutors? Yes. Did God forsake them? No, but he does say to them, it will be good for you in the end. Remember that. If America does not turn, it will still be good for you and I who follow the Lord in the end. Could we be homeless? Could we go hungry? Could we perish? Yes. But note this, he did not leave you. He did not forsake you. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have a really, really, really hard time. It may even cost you your life to follow him. He is faithful. And he sees us all the way through. Behold, Jesus said, I am with you until the ends of the earth, to the end of time, to the end, all the way through to the end. That's what that verse means here. He's announcing to the righteous. There's a little parenthetical insert. Follow God, though you live in a nation that has departed from God, and when God's judgment comes upon that nation, and that nation is brought to its knees, and everything becomes unhinged, just know this. It's going to be really good for you in the end. Verse 11, but woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, because the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, my children, listen to this. They're going to have childish or immature leaders. Are there oppressors and women? Now, ladies, don't get upset with this. Women will rule over them. God's not insulting women. The word here is Jezebel-type women will rule over them. It's interesting. Think that through for a moment. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. The ancient paths is what he's talking about. Wow, there's a path that we're to follow. God says, follow this route. Young people don't like to hear this. I don't think. I think maybe young people now are starting to wake up to, somebody tell us what to do. A lot of young people today don't have parents. Listen to what God says. God says, go back to the ancient path. Follow that. I was shocked the other day. I was talking to some relatives of ours, young kids. And you know what's really hip right now? I shouldn't have thrown all this stuff out. But you know what's really hip right now, I guess, is mid-century furniture. Did you know that among young people? And I said, what? Oh, man, anything from the 50s and 60s is awesome. That we're buying that, putting it in our houses. Did you know this? I didn't know. You did. I didn't know this. I'm an old guy. And I'm thinking, I could have eBayed all that stuff. Well, you know what? That's cool. Mid-century stuff. Just keep going back a little further. Go back. Go back further. Go back to the ancient markers God says he has set for us. They're eternal truths, God's word, and they'll hold you through life. Think of that. But leadership can't be found. Verse 13, the Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord, look at that, L-O-R-D, capitals. This is Yahweh. This is his name, you know that. Yahweh stands to plead. This is an amazing word. Yahweh arises to state his case, is what that word means. And look, and it says, and to set, really, to set straight a course for us. That's what that means when he stands to judge the people. It doesn't mean he's standing up to smack you around. He's standing up to proclaim the straight path. There's a course to take. These are words, by the way, pointed out in the Hebrew language of a courtroom scene. It's the Lord, Yahweh, standing, and he announces to a nation that's departed from him, follow the straight path. It's like a voice in the darkness when you're stumbling around and you don't know which way to go. And you're, you know, at first being lost is kind of fun until it gets a little old or scary. And there's a voice in the night when you're terrified. What do we do? Follow me. Come to my voice. Come here. The only problem is Israel was not calling out to him yet. Just like America is not calling out to him yet. It's not bad enough here yet. It's got to get worse, I guess, for us to call out to him. But there'll be that voice. He'll call out. Verse 14, the Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes, for you have eaten up the vineyard. These are terrible leaders. They've consumed the people's vineyards. They plunder the poor in their houses. Verse 15, what do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, says the Lord? Adonai, God, that is Adonai Yahweh of hosts. My goodness, this is Adonai Yahweh of the armies of heaven. That's what he's saying. Whoa, this is heavy. He's saying, you crooks, you con artists, you've ripped off my people. I've seen you. You've ground their faces into the ground. You've made them eat dust. You've robbed their vineyards. You've raised their taxes. You've exploited. You've put their children into captivity. You've done all these things. And I've seen it. And God says, that's it. I want you to know, Adonai, he's saying, I am Adonai, Yahweh, the God of heaven's armies. I'm going to deal with you. Can you imagine? Yikes. Now, I like when he talks like that, when he's talking like that in defense of me. I just wouldn't want to be on the receiving end. Wow. The world doesn't know much about this righteousness of God, not much about his justice. In Psalm 89, verse 14, the Bible says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face, blessed. Verse 15 is awesome in Psalm 89. Blessed, happy. The word's happy. That's the Hebrew word happy. Happy are the people who know the joyful sound. Sound of what? Of righteousness and of justice. They know mercy and they know truth. That's a happy thing. Isn't that great? Listen to this. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 16, in your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. Simply put, no matter what's going on in the world, Lord, you're in control. Now, that doesn't excuse us, by the way, from not getting involved. Of course God's in control. I've had too many Christians, listen, if you, with what I'm about to share, if you believe this, don't tell me about it, because I'm about at the end of my patience on this one. When somebody says, well, you know, yeah, those people are being beheaded in Syria and Iraq, those Christians, yeah, well, you know, after all, God said these days would be like this. Yes, he did. But the way you put it, it sounds like you're handing the sword to the hand of ISIS to help them fulfill the prophecies. You are not to be doing that. Well, you know, I'm not going to stop the porn shop that's trying to be built near our town, because after all, Jesus said the days were going to get evil. Are you kidding me? Are you crazy? Well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I just don't get involved because, you know, the whole thing's going to hell in a handbasket. That's insane. Well, Pastor, you stood for issues and you guys didn't win. Well, first of all, we did win, but the courts robbed us from it. And oh, by the way, we win. I don't care if I stand for something biblical and nobody stands with me. I win in the end, as long as what I'm fighting for is biblical.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called So How's It Going? Part 2. Thanks for listening, and when we stay close to the Lord and stand for what's right, and according to God's Word, it will go well for us in the end. So How's It Going? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. If you've been listening to our Real Radio program for a while now, then you know that Pastor Jack recently went through the entire book of Acts, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We learned about real action heroes like the Apostle Paul, Peter, Philip, and Stephen, who courageously sacrificed his own life for speaking the truth. It began in Jerusalem, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, God used this small band of believers to change the world for the gospel. And what God did in the early church, he's doing today, and he wants to do it through you. That's why Pastor Jack has made available for purchase the Book of Acts on USB. And for your gift of any amount to Real Radio, you'll get 69 complete audio MP3 messages. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Pick up the Book of Acts on USB today. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, many of us have a lot of questions and opinions about the culture of our day, especially here in California. How can we give an answer for the reason of hope that's within us? And how can we give a biblical worldview of what's happening right now, when so many are becoming so combative? One way is to subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and watch his Engage the Culture series. In this series, Pastor Jack gives an answer to some of the most controversial questions we as Christians are facing today. That includes, what does the Bible say about feminism, transgenderism, gun control, border control, and abortion? Many will reject the truth, but like the Apostle Paul, God will strengthen and encourage us through the power of the Holy Spirit and through fellowship with other believers. Together, the more we know, the more our influence will matter. So take a look at Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. There are so many videos to choose from to help you grow in the Lord. And when you subscribe, don't forget to tap that notification button for the latest videos as they become available. You can also access his YouTube channel from our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.